Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we may verses 13 through 18. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18, the Bible says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not as even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Father, again, we ask that you would bless our time together. Lord, bless the reading of your word. Pray the Holy Spirit would take the word of God into our hearts, piercing our hearts, helping us, Lord, to understand what it is we need to understand today, reminding us of what we need to remember, learning what we need to learn. I pray, Father, that you would have your way with us. Father, our hearts would be revived, our focus would be, Lord, revived again, that, Father, that we would just remember that the Lord's coming is nigh. Just as Paul writes this letter to the church at Thessalonica, Lord, he is writing of an imminent return of Christ. He believed in his day the Lord would return. And Father, we believe in our day the Lord will return. We don't know the time. We don't know the day. We don't know the hour. We don't know the month, the year. But Father, we know without a shadow of a doubt the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. Father, we know the dead in Christ will rise first. Those which are alive and remain will be caught up in the air, in the clouds, and meet the Lord in the air. And so ever we'll be with him. We're looking forward to that day. Father, looking forward to, Lord, just the sin, the wickedness in this world, Lord, completely, Lord, being dealt with. The adversary, the devil, being cast into the lake of fire with a false prophet. And Father, just all the unbelievers, Lord, the enemies of God being dealt with. And Lord, this earth being purged with fire. And Father, a new earth, a new heaven descending down from you. A place that Jesus has prepared for his people to dwell in for eternity, where there is no sickness, there is no death, there's no sorrow, there's no more temptation, and there's no more the tempter. Father, we ask that you would bless our time together this morning, Father. Pray that you draw us unto you, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, we're living in a day and age where many of God's people's faith is wavering. Many people have walked away from the truth. Some did not know the truth. Even Paul spoke of that many went out from among them, but they were not of them, because if they had been of them, no doubt they would have remained. There are those that just in our day and age that walk away from the truth for one reason or another. We're not the judge on whether or not they're saved or not, but we should be the judge in our life based on what do we believe? Do we believe the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return again? And I believe that God is able to comfort the hearts of his people even in the days that we are living in. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 6 and verse 11, the Bible says, "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many." Jesus spoke to his disciples that there'd be false prophets. There'd be those that try to predict when the Lord's return is, and some would put a date on it, and those are false prophets, because no one knows the hour. Jesus says not even the angels, even he doesn't know the hour. Only the Father knows the exact moment that trumpet is going to sound when God says to go get my children. Somebody once said, for Christians who view this changing times through the lens of Scripture, the unfolding prophecies, as concerning as they may be politically or economically, are actually encouraging rather than discouraging. The development of end times prophecies points our focus upward. It should always point our focus upward. Rumors of wars that are going on right now, Again, it all points to the fact that Jesus Christ is going to return. And I know there are those that will say, you know, where's the promise of his coming? He ascended up over 2,000 years ago. And I'm always reminded, yes, I would like the Lord to come quickly. There are days that I feel like, Lord, can it be today? But then I'm reminded of scripture that says God's not willing that any should perish, but all would come to repentance. God does not want anyone to miss an opportunity of believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. But there is coming a moment when there will be time no more. It will no longer be available for those to receive Christ as their Savior. But as the child of God this morning, I want us to be reminded of the blessed hope that we should be looking for. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 13, the Bible reminds us, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We still have something to look forward to. It doesn't matter how bad the day may get, how bad the week was, we still have something we can look forward to. I'm always looking forward to our family vacation in Tennessee. Sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't. I'm always looking forward to it, and it always helps me to know, you know what? At some point, we're going to be able to take a vacation, relax, enjoy ourselves. If there's something in your life that you look forward to, now hopefully, come Monday, you're looking forward to Sunday. Are you looking forward to Wednesday? You know what? Another day to be in the Lord's house. We as God's people should always be looking forward to being in the Lord's house. But more than that, looking forward to seeing our Savior face to face. God's people, not just in this auditorium, but online and all around the world, need to be reminded that our Savior's return is imminent. He is going to return. He promised he would return. And we are encouraged in Titus chapter 2 that we are to be looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who is our great God and Savior. Several things I want us to see out of the scriptures this morning is the fact that Jesus' return is going to be a personal return. That is something that can comfort us, is the fact that God sends Jesus Christ himself to gather the saints from the four winds of the earth. Look at, if you would, at verse 16. The Bible says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Again, like I said before, God's people need to be reminded the Lord's return is imminent. God's people need to prepare themselves for the return of Christ. We don't want to be caught off guard. Again, we don't know the hour, we don't know the day, but we can certainly tell by the times and what's going on in the world that it's getting closer and closer and closer. And I guarantee you the Holy Spirit inside of every believer is going to testify, get ready. It may be 50 years, but the Holy Spirit's still going to tell us, be ready, get ready. Again, God's people tend to lose focus. All throughout Scripture, we see from the beginning to the end where sometimes God's people, they get off focus. They lose sight of their Savior's return. They buy into the lie that, you know, you've got plenty of time, but we don't know because there is a time appointed unto men, a time of death, a time that, you know what? It may not be the rapture. It may be the Lord calls us home before that. And we want to be ready, but still having the faith that, you know what? Today could be the day the Lord calls me home, the day that the trumpet sounds. Whatever the Lord wants to do with my life and whenever the Lord wants to call me home, I want to be ready and be ready walking in faith that I know my Savior's return is imminent. Nothing has to happen before the trumpet sounds. Many believe that certain things have to happen, but again, Paul believed in his day it could happen. In fact, he's encouraging the believers at Thessalonica, today could be the day. You know what, that's the only thing that really keeps me even going is that, you know what, I have something to look forward to. I have somebody to encourage me. I have someone that says, look unto me. Look unto me. Draw your strength from me. Encourage yourself in the hope that I am going to return. And that's the confidence that we have in Jesus Christ, is that it is a personal return. He's the one that is going to come personally for you and me. Notice in 2 Peter chapter 3, or just listen 2 Peter chapter 3, the Bible says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. You know, what a wonderful thing to say if someone ever says that. Yeah, you know what? They've been saying that for years. Jesus is coming back. He hasn't come back yet. Well, no, because he's waiting for you to get saved. He's not willing that any should perish. That's what we say to the scoffers, is he's waiting for you to get saved so you don't have to face the wrath of God. Somebody once said the rapture is not simply a prophetic possibility. It is an imminent certainty. And we ought to live our life like that, that it is an imminent certainty that Christ is going to return. And it could be today. And that is what encourages us in the day that we're living. Again, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, the Bible says, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. God's not stuck in our time. God's outside of time. There's no years and days to him. They're all the same. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We serve a wonderful God. Again, it's been over 2,000 years, but to the Lord, it's just been a couple of days. And to us, sometimes, you know, we're in a day and we feel like, man, it's been forever. We serve a wonderful God that knows exactly when he's coming, but the fact that you and I can be encouraged and comforted in the fact that our Lord and Savior hasn't left us here alone, but he's going to come back for us. You know what? Go to John chapter 14. I know I got notes here to follow, but you know what? I may not even follow my notes because I love the fact what Jesus says in John 14. There's just so many things in this world that stress people out. There's so many things that are causing God's people not to be faithful to the house of God, or faithful to their walk with God, or faithful to the promises of God, and faithful to the prayer life that God calls us to. So many things take up our time and take up our thoughts, and yet God wants us not to be troubled. Look at verse 14. I mean, the disciples were faced with some troubling times. Not that the Pharisees were against him and stuff, but the fact that Jesus kept saying over and over to them that he was going to leave. He was going to depart. He was going to be handed over into the hands of sinful men and be crucified. And as they're getting closer and closer to that moment, Jesus says to them, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. How comforting that is, that Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us. And verse 3, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. You know, that's kind of comforting, that the Lord actually wants me to be with him. Not everybody wants me to be around them, but the Lord wants me to be with him. Not everybody likes you. Not everybody likes me. But the Lord sure does love us. He loves every single one of his children, and he can't wait for us to be with him. I'm glad that he is with us even now. When you look back at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16, just the fact that we have the confidence in the fact that Jesus Christ is going to come, and there's not a single one of his children that will miss that event. Again, you understand that Paul writes the letter to Thessalonica, to the believers there, because some believe that you had to be alive when Jesus comes back in order to go with him. And they were grieving the loss of loved ones, but they were afraid the loved ones that had passed on would miss the event, not realizing, hey, they're already enjoying it. They're already with the Lord, and they're going to enjoy being raptured, being joined back with their resurrected bodies, with their new bodies that will be glorified. You look at verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Their spirits are going to be joined back to their bodies. Their bodies will be glorified. They'll have that perfect body. And we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. The fact that when the Lord returns, he's going to collect all of his saints. He's going to collect all of the believers at that time. Again, that's not the end. That's the rapture. There's two parts to the Lord's second coming that you understand. The rapture of the church, the end of the age of grace, or the end of the church age. And after that, the Lord is going to focus on Israel. And there'll be those that get saved during that time. But the fact, you don't want to miss, I'll say the first roll call. You don't want to miss that first roll call. The Lord calls us up. I know, again, there are many got into that Left Behind series, those books and the movies and stuff, and nothing wrong with it, but one thing I found is some people think, well, you know what? If I don't get saved before the rapture, I'll get saved after the rapture. We're not guaranteed that. And no one should have that mentality and that thought and presumably, play upon God's grace. When the moment is given, when the time is given, as the Bible tells us, as God says, today is the day of salvation. If you're alive today without Christ, you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. God's giving you today to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, as he says in verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Today is a day of salvation. Today is putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And if we are already born again, we're already looking for the blessed hope of his return, we need to be encouraged every single day and comforted in the fact that our Lord and Savior is coming back, and whatever my struggles are, they will soon be over. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. Now, Michael, being an archangel, being a very strong angel, yet when he was contending with the devil, he rebuked the devil in the Lord's name, and we need to rebuke the devil in the Lord's name. Because again, the devil's going to try to tempt you, as he's tempted so many, just to walk away. You're saved, you're on your way to heaven. You know what? He's not even going to come in your lifetime. Paul believed that he was going to come in his lifetime, and that's where, again, where a lot of the false teachings come in, where people say, you know what, Paul was wrong. Now, there are certain things that have to happen before the Lord can return. Nothing has to happen before the Lord calls us home. Like I said, what if he calls us home before the rapture? Again, I want to be alive during the rapture because I want to get vengeance on gravity. I want to get vengeance on gravity. Because how many of you have ever fallen down? Right? I want to get vengeance on gravity because falling, 12 feet through a ceiling, you know what? I get the last laugh. I get the last laugh on gravity. It's going to be a wonderful day to be able to fly. I've had many dreams in my lifetime of being able to fly like Superman. And yet, Superman can't fly. It's all made up, but there's one day we're going to be able to fly. Listen, go to Revelation chapter 19, if you would. Revelation chapter 19. You know, our faith is built upon the truth and fact that we have a risen Savior who's coming again. You know, I mentioned it in Sunday school, just right around the corner, just next month, we're going to be celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. And it's one of the foundational truths that we stand upon, that we have a risen Savior. He borrowed a tomb because he only needed it for 3 days. And after 3 days, he rose victoriously, having the keys of death and hell. And those guards that were placed at the tomb to guard the tomb, they saw the tomb was empty. But because they had love of money more than the love of the Savior, they lied. The Bible records that. The Bible records that they were bribed with money to lie and say his disciples stole him away. But many would put their faith and trust in that risen Savior. Many of his own disciples, their faith would be strengthened because the risen Savior came to them like doubting Thomas to say, reach forth thy finger, thrust in thy fist in my side. But then telling Thomas as he obviously bowed and worshiped him, said, you know, you believe because you've seen, but blessed are those who haven't seen and who will believe. In fact, I haven't seen the risen Savior, but I know he lives because he lives within my heart. My life has been changed. I know he's returning again because the Spirit testifies with my spirit that I'm a child of God. And he's going to come back on a white horse like Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 reminds us. John says, I saw heaven opened and behold a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Look, the devil is always being a counterfeit. He's always trying to steal the glory away from the Lord. And the Bible tells us the Antichrist will come like Jesus. The Bible says he'll come riding on a white horse, pretending to have that world peace that everybody's wanting, but he brings destruction after 3.5 years. He brings destruction, but Jesus Christ, who rides on the true white horse, whose name is faithful and true, he will come and he will set all things right. Zechariah chapter 14 says, then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations. And when he fought, as when he fought in the day of battle, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north and half of it toward the south. Looking forward to that day again when the Lord does come to this earth and he sets up his earthly kingdom for 1,000 years. But the fact that he is personally coming for you and for me and for every child of God, and we will not miss that moment, whether you're sleeping in the middle of the night. We don't know if it's when it's going to be. It's going to be in the middle of the night, midnight, and at noon, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Not a single child of God will miss it. Not a single child of God will be deaf to the trumpet sound. Do you realize even God's people who are deaf will not miss that sound? That'll be a glorious sound for them on that given day when they hear that trumpet and they're caught up in the clouds. And their ears are opened and they receive their new bodies just everybody else does. I'm saying there's not a single person that's going to miss that day, and it really should be something in these latter days that draws us closer to the Lord, that we know our Savior is going to return. I don't know when it's going to be, evening, morning, or at noon, but I want to be ready. I want to be looking. I want to be busy about my Father's business. I want to be a servant of the Lord, being used of the Lord, being a vessel of honor that the Lord can use for his glory. Let's look back, if you would, at verse 16. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Just look at how the Lord just, he comes back, obviously personally, but then how each of God's people will ascend up with him. Again, verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Obviously, those that have gone on will rise first, and some may ask, well, wait a minute, I thought they were already with the Lord. Yes. They are with the Lord, but their bodies have been put into the ground. Their bodies have gone through that decomposing process. There are those that have lost their life out at sea. There are those that there was nothing left for their body after an explosion. Yet on that day, they will come back together, their spirit and their body, and their body will be glorified. It will be, again, a glorified body that will be new. Like Jesus Christ is the only one that's going to have any scars. The scars I have on my body from stitches and stuff, I won't have those. He's the only one in heaven that's going to have those scars to obviously remind us of what he did for us. In fact, the only reason why I'm going to heaven is not that I did. It's not because I earned it. It's not because I was born into the right family, but because he was willing to take my place on the cross. He was willing to die for my sins I could not pay for. In fact, I want us to be reminded this morning just that we have something to look forward to, something to encourage us along the way, something that, you know what, is far better than anything this world could possibly entice us with. The Bible says that many, though, in the last days are enticed with itching ears and walking away from the truth, walking away from the faith, going after vain teachers. And yet, the Lord wants us to be with Him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I'm looking forward to this. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in corruption, or raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. In verse 53 of the same chapter, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. I'm looking forward to that. You know, we kind of talked in Sunday school about Jairus, whose daughter had died, and yet Jesus obviously brought her back to life. There were many that had died that Jesus would bring back to life. Lazarus is calling out his name. There was the son of a widow that he stopped the funeral procession and told the young man to arise. And the young man arose because life was given back to him. He presented the son back to the mother. Looking forward to that day that, you know what, we will be with the Lord. What is it that young people need to realize? The same thing I had to realize in an early age, but I didn't until later. Life is but a vapor. Life is short. There's a God in heaven who wants to walk with us. There's a God in heaven who wants to talk with us and bless us and encourage us and help us throughout this life until we see our Savior face to face. But the fact is that we are going to get a new body. Why does this body have to get old? Why do we have to at different times face sicknesses that take a toll on our bodies that we never recover from? Why is it that some people end up with cancer? Some people end up with different diseases and viruses, and it's all because of sin. We live in a sin-cursed world, but there's coming a day when that sin curse will no longer wreak havoc upon people. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You and I have victory through Jesus Christ this morning. Every single person can have victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody has to live in defeat. The devil wants people to live in defeat. The devil wants people to believe that they have no victory. They cannot get victory over their sin or over their bad habits. They cannot get victory over their feelings of hurt, their broken heart. But yet the Lord says that we do have victory, and that victory comes through Jesus Christ. And because we have victory, we can walk in the promise of verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not vain in the Lord. Because we have victory in Jesus Christ, we can be steadfast in our faith. We can be steadfast in the promises of God. We can be unmovable. We don't have to be moved about because of the rumors of wars or because of wars, because of, you know, I've heard so many times where people say, you know, our country could get invaded by Russia and China and all these things could happen. Listen, the worst that has happened to our country is the devil has invaded it and has caused havoc in the lives of people. He has stolen people and killed people. He's caused people to think that God doesn't love them. He's caused people to think that there is no God. And yet we know there is a God. There is a God in heaven. When was the last time we actually thank the Lord for the life that we have? Because we could all start naming things in our life that, well, I'm not thankful for that. I'm not thankful for that person. I'm not thankful for that situation. But you know what? Without struggles, there are no victories. God does nothing wrong. People do things wrong. But God's never done a wrong thing in all of his existence. Why is it that God created Adam and Eve knowing they would sin against him? Same reason why he gave me life. Knowing I'd sin against him, yet he wanted to show his love and grace and forgiveness. He wanted me to come to know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior so I could enjoy the place that has been prepared for me. Do you know there's nothing that God owes anybody? Sometimes people have the idea that God owes them a better life. Yet God doesn't owe us anything. But because of his love, his mercy, and grace, yet he blesses us beyond imagination. And all he asks of us is if we will comfort ourselves in the promises of his word. Notice what Paul writes, I believe, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit when he pens these words at the end of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. At different times in our life, we need to be comforted with the truth that we serve a risen Savior who's coming back for us. A risen Savior who hasn't left us here to be tormented by this world and by people and situations. But he's left us here to experience the power of his grace in our life so that we can testify to others of his grace. You remember the account in Scripture where Jesus crosses over the Sea of Galilee with his disciples. He gets over to the land of the Gadarenes and there's a man possessed with a demon, many demons, and he comes out to Jesus and Jesus obviously heals the man. And that man was healed and the townspeople came out and saw the man and saw him clothed, sitting in his right mind at the feet of Jesus. His life had been turned right side up, totally delivered from the bondage he was in. And he asked Jesus, I want to go with you. Jesus was leaving because the townspeople wanted Jesus to leave. Can you just leave? We don't want you here. And this man whose life was changed by the power of Christ, he says, I want to go with you. And Jesus says, no, you stay here. You go back to your house and you testify of the good things that God's done for you. That's what the Lord wants us to do. We're comforted in the fact he's coming again. We're comforted in the fact that we're going to receive new glorified bodies that will no longer ache and have pain and suffer. But yet he wants us to be faithful at comforting others with the truth that they can have the same hope that we have. Even encouraging the feeble-minded Christians that, hey, God wants you to look unto the hills from whence cometh your help. Your help cometh from the Lord. God wants you to be encouraged that he hasn't left you here to suffer. He's left you here to walk with him to the valley of the shadow of death, fearing no evil, but trusting in his rod and staff that they do comfort us through this life. Again, we have a comfort in our future. We know our future is bright. We know we have a beautiful place we're going to, and we know we'll be with the Lord for eternity. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Because verse 17 said, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Like I said before, I love our family vacations. I love going to Tennessee, getting a cabin in the mountains and just spending several days there and just relaxing. There's things in your life that you like to do that's relaxing, but it doesn't last forever. You always have to go back home. You always have to go back, if you work, go back to the work. Whatever it is you have to do, even the work you have to do around your home, I mean, it just never ends. And sometimes, you know, I can remember being a kid and going to different places and, man, I wish this didn't have to end. And one day, it's not going to end. One day, we will be with the Lord forever and we'll never have to leave. But you know what? You and I can be comforted in our fellowship with Christ. Again, Jesus said in John 14, verse 2, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself." I love the fact that he uses the words "you," because it's personal. It's you individually. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. A comforting truth that the Lord really does want us to be with him. Not everybody wants us to be around them. Not everybody I know wants me to be around them. But there's one that wants me to be around him. The same one that desired to walk in the Garden of Eden with Adam is the same one that desires for us to be with him. But 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 14 reminds us, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." It's only those that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, that will get to be with him for eternity. And you and I, we don't have to allow our hearts to be troubled by things we hear or see in this world, because we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who's gotten us the victory. Because he is the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. He said that in John 14, 6. Jesus saith unto him, "I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." I mean, these are promises that you and I, we stand upon. Our faith is built upon a risen Savior. And we can comfort ourselves with the fact that we're on the winning side. In fact, our Lord and Savior is coming again. And when he comes, we're going to see him face to face in our glorified bodies. And we will be with him for eternity. But I want to encourage every one of us in the sound of my voice, whether in this room or through the internet or someone that will be watching some other point in their life, the messages. We all need at this moment be purposed in our hearts that we're going to remain faithful to our faithful God. That we're going to keep walking with him. We're going to keep doing the things that he loves and keep rejecting the things that he hates, because the Bible says there are seven things that he hates. Even though he's a God of love, there are things he hates: a proud look, a lying tongue, a false witness that spreads lies. But man, he so loves his children.